Go whenever you're ready. Cool. We good? All right. So, I'm going to start off with some of the best stuff I've ever come up with. Be prepared. Does anyone remember when they used to just run around? Or perhaps you would run to the hills? Or you just ran so far away? But seriously, running is something we all used to do. Amen? How many people remember when they were a kid and it didn't matter whether you were going from here to like the other side of the house or you were going to your best friend's house? You ran. You ran. If you have kids, fathers, right? What do your littlest do more than anything else? Run. And usually it's around, in a circle, probably around things that are very fragile, right? Which you sit there and go, please don't run into the thing, please don't run into the thing, right? Run. Running. Here's the interesting thing. Who taught your kids to run? Natural. It is natural. Nobody ever taught you how to run, but as soon as you were able to stand and walk, you started running. It's ingrained in you. It's built into you. Yet, how many of you run now? Chasing your children doesn't count. I did. This is true. And you are here, so you can raise your hand. It's okay. It's not something we do anymore. And it's sad. And it's not something that we do correctly, even if we were to do it today. And that's what we're going to address. We were designed to run, but running has a purpose. Today, however, that purpose is not only lost on us, but we might find that when we need to run, we might not be able to. Today, we are going to exercise our endurance. How many people were winded after that little left-right exercise? It's hilarious of only, that's why you have to come to church because you don't get those little bits off of the audio, okay? You don't get them unless you're here. Amen. Oh, that's fantastic. Running with purpose. We have a purpose, okay, as to why we are going to do these things. These exercises might seem childish and stupid, but they're really, really pointing out something that we are lacking. And if we don't have a very real purpose as to why we do what we do, we are going to miss out on all the things that God is trying to do in our lives. I want to be clear. Again, even though we are using a very, very real physical example, this is not about physically running. I'm not calling every one of you out to get on a treadmill and go. Did I tell you to do that? Don't start there. That's not where you're supposed to be. That's not where we're heading. You have to pay attention. So, we'll start with some scripture. Amen? 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 9, verses 24 through 27. And if you kind of already picked up the theme, you might have already picked up this verse because it's a very, very common verse when it deals with the topic or subject of running. Because Paul straight up says, we're running. Seems like clean cut to me. Bible talks, I do it. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Therefore I run thus, not with uncertainty. Thus I fight, not as one who beats the air, but I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. This is a very good scripture, but I want to bring into some focus some things that maybe you don't know or understand what this is really talking about and why it pertains to our spiritual fitness. Paul is using a race as a metaphor. Do we understand what a metaphor is? Does everybody need an explanation on metaphors, what they mean? Okay, good. He's using the race as a metaphor to illustrate some key points to our spiritual condition and where we are supposed to be. Clearly, that means that we are not where we are supposed to be, and he wants us to be somewhere different than where we are currently. Yes? Do we see the correlation? First thing he shows or illustrates in this is that there has to be a goal. Right? Did he not illustrate there is a goal? You are racing towards the goal to receive a prize. There is an objective, okay? That also means that you have to advance towards the goal in order to actually obtain the prize, right? You have to advance towards the goal in order to reach the end, in order to obtain the prize. But here's the part that nobody wants to hear. He uses the illustration of a race. A race. Anybody ever watch any other races? NASCAR? Watch NASCAR? Okay. Anybody ever watch like other like track competitions? Right? Olympic racing? Things like that? Is just one guy running by himself on the track? And when he gets to the goal, he won? What's going on? There's what? There's competition. Did anybody ever think that in the race that you are running right now, there is competition? Did you think that there's no competition? Well, but I'm God's chosen. He takes care of me. He gives me all the things. You're in a competition. And if you don't get there, guess what? Somebody else will. And somebody else is going to take what was yours. If you don't run, you miss out. If you don't run, you don't have. Well, wait. But God gives us all these great and wonderful things. He does. But you actually have to go and obtain them. This is not God's participation trophy. Everybody wins. God did not call us to just show up for the race and automatically, here you go, here's your prize. It's not Oprah. You didn't get a seat and then you get a car and you get a car and you get a car. All you did was just sit in a seat. That's not how it works. That's not how God builds his kingdom. You actually have to progress. You have to advance towards the things of God in order to obtain them. If you don't, you don't have. Don't complain to God about, well, God didn't give me X, Y, and Z. Well, did you not move forward? Because if you just stayed put the entire time and it's sitting right there on the table, you can go up and get it yourself. God gave it to you. You have to go get it. But what happened is that we have become lazy in this way because we believe we have this thinking that God gives us all the stuff. He just provides. And so therefore, all I have to do is pray, God, I just need some more money. I would be able to pay all my bills. If you could just bless my account with an extra zero, that'd be great. And we just stare at our account waiting for it to happen. Any minute, God. Go. Flip that zero. Let's go. Gotta pay my bills tomorrow. Zero. And God's saying, if you'd have looked up and looked down the street, there's a now hiring sign. And if you walked in the door and said, oh yeah, I'd like this job, it's already yours. I've been waiting for you to just step foot in my store and ask for the position. There's your extra zero. But you don't get it because you are sitting here Protect them. The last one is else who knows that you have something precious in your house to go in right now. So let's use this as an illustration. If God gives you something, you say, oh, well, that's really precious to me, God. And it's sitting right over there, and all you have to do is move forward and obtain it, but you take your good old time to get there. Do you think they're going, oh, I'd like to have that for myself? The enemy steals from God's people because God's people don't move forward and get the things that God has given to them. It's not because the enemy's crafty. It's not because the enemy's faster. It's because we're lazy and we don't want to go and get it. We've lacked the spiritual fitness and discipline that we need to make the movements and the motions forward to grab and obtain the things that God has given his people. And then you wonder why we have a lazy church. Because God's people are just sitting there with their hands out going like this as they're just doing nothing. Inactive, not moving, waiting for God to pour out. Pour out, God, pour out, pour out. God's like, I'm pouring out. Where are you? Come over here. Here's where it's all happening. Think of the Ark of the Covenant. Did God's people just stay there when the pillar of smoke moved on and go, wait, God, come back. We're not done. What did they do? They packed up and they chased after him because wherever he was going, they wanted to be with him. Yet we have a church today that is waiting for God to come on their terms, by their demands, to do what they want, when they want, and you have a lazy church. Not moving, not doing the things God has called them to do. And Paul does illustrate this, right? Because he gives us two types. He tells us there are two crowns. Does he not? There is a perishable crown and an imperishable crown. That means that there are two motives that are racing in this race. One is racing for God and his kingdom, the one crown that does not perish, right? And then you have the other people who are racing in that race, same race, but they're racing to obtain worldly gain. That's what the perishable crown is, because you can't take it with you, right? It's going to go away. What's worldly gain? Money, goods, items, the wealth of the world, the riches, all this stuff, right? The things that when you die, you can't take with you. The difference between one and the other has to do with the conditioning. And he says this, right? He says, he runs thus, not with uncertainty. What is certainty? It's confidence. It's persistence. Are you confident that you can reach the goal, and are you persistent enough to keep moving forward in the direction to get it? Or are you a quitter? When it gets hard, I can't do it. I can't go any further. I'm not going to make it. Ugh, it's not worth it anyway. I can find something better on eBay. But that's not God's best. That's not God's best. Why did you give up on God's best and settle for something that's worthless in the end? He also says, thus I fight, not as one who beats the air. Do we hit the mark? Do we actually make the impacts that we're supposed to make? And lastly, he says, I discipline my body. What is discipline? It's consistency. It's avoiding the distractions and the temptations that take your eye off of the prize. If you lack those areas, guess what you're never going to do? You're never going to get up. You're never going to put one foot in front of the other. And you're never going to advance towards the things that God has given to you. And you're not going to have the things that God has given to you. So, how many people think they're missing out on the things God's given to them because they haven't advanced towards the goal? There's things we can do to fix this, guys. I don't want you to think that I'm beating you up today. I'm not. But here's the facts. Exercise, right? When you do an exercise routine, what is the immediate thing you feel after you're done the exercise? You're pain, right? Usually you feel pain. Usually in the area that you haven't worked out very long because it needs exercise. And so you have pain. So there is going to be a sting here. Why did we think there wouldn't be a stinging? But the stinging is good because it's going to make you stronger. It's going to make you better in the end. And all those things that I just talked about, guess who else knows that those areas are not really set in stone with you in your walk spiritually? The other guy. And you want to know what he does when he finds spots that are weak? He exploits them. He exploits them. So I'll give you for instance, right? If you are not a person who is motivated to get up and go forward when God says to obtain the things that God promises, right? Because you're just, well, I have OCD. What does that mean? You get easily distracted, right? Or no, ADHD. Sorry, ADHD. I have ADHD. That's the one. Sorry. I'm not good with these acronym things. I have ADHD. So I'm easily distracted. Well, you know what the enemy's gonna do then? He's gonna keep throwing all kinds of stuff in front of you to distract you, to keep you from going and getting the thing that God wants for your life. The second you admit you are weak in an area, the enemy is going to take full advantage of that weakness in your life, and he's going to exploit it over and over and over and over again, because if the church of Jesus Christ doesn't get up and move and obtain the things of God, do we stand a chance of actually bringing in his kingdom? Nope, because we are going to lack what? Discipline, motivation. How about the actual things that he's been giving to us to prepare us for that end time move? Because all the stuff that he's giving to his kids isn't for just you and your benefit. It's for the benefit of his kingdom, and you're lacking it in your arsenal. So when the time comes and you're called up to come and stand in attention, you're missing a sword. You're missing a shield. I don't know where my helmet is. Well, did you get it? It's right there, but you didn't go grab it. You lack the discipline to go pick up the things that God is giving to you. And then when the time comes and you need to have all that equipment ready to go, you're missing it. It's not on you. Then can you go, well, hold on, God, wait a minute. Let me go get it now. Now I know it's important. You gonna be able to pull that fast one on God? You think he's gonna hear you out? First Timothy. We already read this not too long ago, so it's not long. First Timothy 6, verse 11. But you, O man of God, flee these things and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, gentleness. Flee these things and pursue these things. Flee those things, pursue these things. Flee these things, pursue these things. The word pursue is very important, but the word flee is even more important, because flee establishes the word pursue. Pursue can mean a lot of different things if you look it up in the dictionary. And it's very easily for one to believe that the word pursue here means something it does not. And I'm going to correct you. Pursue does not mean here to seek or to use measures to obtain. This does not translate into seek righteousness, seek godliness, seek faith, seek love, so that you can obtain them. That's not what it says. How can I say that? Because the first word in front of it was what? Flee, which means to run away from, right? Run away from and run toward these other things, right? There's a direction, there is an implication from one into another. So the word pursue here actually means to follow with a view to overtake, to follow with haste, to chase. That means we are to run after, to overtake these things. Did you ever wonder, interesting enough, righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, gentleness, sounds a lot like Jesus? Is not Jesus our righteousness? Our faith, our love, all these things are exhibited in the persona of Jesus Christ, who now dwells in you. Here's the thing. Overtake? What do you mean overtake? We're supposed to overtake Jesus? What does that mean? Kick him off his seat and get out of here, Jesus? We don't need you anymore? Is that what it means? No. What does it really mean? Here's the thing. It's actually scriptural. John 14, verse 12. John 14, verse 12. It is there. Okay, there we go. Most assuredly, I say to you, this is the words of Jesus. He who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works. Greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. Guess what? Jesus expects you to overtake him. He set the precedent that with him, you were to now take the next step. It's like a marathon that you're handed the baton. Jesus already ran the first leg of the race, and now he hands you the baton, and you're just standing there going, dunk, 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 dunk. It's purple. I wonder if it tastes like purple. Lick, lick. And he's standing there looking at you going, what are you doing? Do you not know that I have just given you everything you need to finish the race? You need to now go. But we're not doing greater works than him, are we? As a church, as a body of Christ, how many of the greater works have you seen going on in the Church of Jesus Christ? Slim to none, right? Barely any movements of the prophetic anymore. You see a church that's built around all this gooey, goopy stuff and all this stuff. They don't want to give you the truth of God. They don't want to give you the words of God out of his actual book. They want to translate it for you because after all, this is too harsh. Too harsh. We have to be compassionate and caring. We have to have 27 different, you know, ways to deal with your grief and the problems you created in your life. But none of it's going to be pertaining to what God says. It's going to be, how do you feel? The Church of God has become a therapy council session. Right. You think I'm laughing? It's funny to laugh at, but at the same time, guess who we are identifying as part of the body? I hate to say it, but that's your pinky toe over there. And we need our pinky toe to get their act together. We have a responsibility to do something with the things that God's given to us, and he expects us to finish the other leg of the race. And that is something that is lost on the world and the church today. We have not done our job because we don't know how to run. We don't know how to run anymore. We've lost our legs, right? We need new legs, like Lieutenant Dan. Lieutenant Dan, you got new legs. Though we may not like to run or be able to even do so, we need to see our running capabilities as our ability to pursue God and his Son so as to accomplish the Great Commission, to do what Jesus started and positioned us into positions to finish. He's already set you up to finish the race. And he, by the way, I don't know if you guys are aware, he ran the hard part. He ran the hard part. I don't see anybody else volunteering to be nailed up there. He ran the hard part. So that you did not have to. Now you have the easy part. All you got to do is finish and get to the goal. That's it. You just got to finish. This is why that race metaphor is so good. It's like a marathon race. As I already stated, Jesus handed you the baton and now we have to finish. But we don't just have to finish, we have to also run well. There is a wrong and right way to run. Hebrews 10. Another one you guys probably know, because we just did this not too long ago. Starting at verse 35 and finishing out to 38. You there? Anybody? Somebody? It's behind me? All right, good. Therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward, for you have need of endurance. Say, I have need of endurance. Need of endurance. So that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he who is coming will come and will not tarry. Jesus is never late. He's always on time. Amen. Now the just shall live by faith. But if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. We have need of endurance, church. We need endurance. What is endurance? Any takers? Want to shoot? The ability to keep going. Stamina. It's good. It's good. How many people could definitely use some more endurance in their life? Yeah? Here's what it really means. And you can guess where I got it from. By now you should already know. A bearing or suffering. A continuing under pain or distress without resistance. Or without sinking or yielding to the pressure. How many people really like that definition and would much rather go back to stamina or just keep going? Remember I was telling you about that sting, that pain? How many people stop at that very moment? Charlie horse can't run anymore. Can't go. Oh, but my knees. Oh, I can't do it. My back. That's not when you quit. That's when the enemy wants you to quit. That's when the enemy has determined, oh, I know how to get you to stop. Here, this will make you quit. Think of a military person. Anybody ever watch real life footage from World War II? Okay, History Channel buffs. Do you know, this is a fact, okay, the storming of the beach into Normandy, right? Okay, tons and tons of people died before they even got off the boat, right? Some people got 2 steps into the water and died. Do you know there were people that were shot multiple times and still made it all the way on to the beach and were able to still fire a shot, maybe just one, before they were done? How many people think they have the endurance to do that? I'm bringing it up and setting an example here because this is the kind of endurance that the real soldiers in Jesus Christ have to be able to endure, spiritually speaking, not physically speaking, of course, but spiritually. How many people get totally handicapped, can't move a muscle or a wink because of a spiritual attack? Their whole lives end up upheavaled and totally sidelined, not doing the things that God has called them out to do in faith, believing in the power of you or the power of Christ. Jesus, right? So it's not even under your strength anymore. It's under His strength. All you got to do is believe that He will carry you through it. But at the very first shot from the enemy, oh man, I can't. My dog ate some chocolate and he's sick. I can't make it. And we get so overwhelmed by the first attack, the first sight of pain. But here's the catch. Remember we talked about running, right? And as simple as that funny little exercise we did this morning, right? Well, before we started. Do you know that if you just do that little silly, stupid, dumb exercise every morning, every day, you will start to build up endurance that you can go longer and further and for greater time periods without having that pain that usually subsides you and takes you out. Now translate that into the spiritual. What have you done to build upon what Jesus already started? You have everything, right? Jesus has given it to you. He's provided you with Himself. What have you done? What have you done to exercise your faith in Jesus Christ to go, put me in, coach, I'm ready. Instead of just sitting on the bench. Using the running analogy, are you running in a way or in a manner that is persistent? Do you keep going regardless of the pain? Jesus can take care of it, right? Jesus has you covered. You're not going to stumble and fall. It just requires you to have enough fortitude to move forward and keep going and reach that goal. Because at the very end, there's something greater waiting for you. In that, are you staying focused on the goals that God has given you and shown you and prepared for you? How many people know the goals that God has made for them? How many people are persistent to continue to press into them to obtain them? Because if you don't even know what the goal is, where are you going? You might be just doing this. I'd be better off putting you in a ball. That's it. Put you in a ball. You might make progress then. Running in circles gets you nowhere, but I put you in a ball, at least you'll pick a direction by accident. That goes into another scripture. Be you either hot or cold, but if you are lukewarm, I will spew you out of my mouth. God's sick and tired of his church just running in circles because they don't know which direction to go. You're not even asked. You haven't even pushed the envelope. Go to God and say, hey, where do you want me to go next? What's my next goal, God? We get through the first one and we go, okay, I did it. Great. Are you out of here? Did you check out? No. Then did you go to God and say, okay, where's my next objective? What's my next move? Until you're out of here, there's another goal. Until you've checked out, there's another goal. Lastly, are you progressing in making Jesus' name renowned? Because get this, every time you make a goal and every time you achieve it, guess who gets the glory? You or Jesus? I'll use you for an example if you don't mind, dear. When you get that book published and it goes off like hotcakes, you get the benefit of reaping the rewards, but who gets the glory? Why? Because he inspired you. He created the idea in you. He gave you all the things that you needed, directions and all the stuff to make that all happen. If he doesn't get the glory, guess what? You're going to find your next objective? Probably not, because you are misguided. This goes back to the perishable crown or the imperishable crown. If you ran the race and your goal and your objective was, give me money, I want money, 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 money. Guess what? You got your perishable crown. Congratulations. But you're not going to have anything else. You got it. That's your treasure. Enjoy it. Don't spend it all in one candy bar. And that's the catch. Because how many times do the people of God see the goal and see the reward that God is giving to them to obtain, right? And instead of pressing towards the goal, they press, the goal is to obtain. That's it. My goal is to get it. That's it. Because you want to know what the difference is? If God says, here's how you get to this, you need to go this way, you need to deal with this type of stuff. You need to deal with this type of person. But when you press through that and you make it to the other side, then you'll have the prize, the reward, right? But if the goal is the prize, guess what you're going to try to do? Are you going to go through all that stuff that was in front of it? Or are you going to try to do this? We'll just go around that. Oh, let me go around that. Let me step over that because I don't want to deal with that. That's a landmine. And I'm going to take one step here, three to the right. I'm going to do everything in my power to avoid the hard stuff just so I can get to the prize. When the goal is the prize, you will do absolutely everything in your power to avoid doing the things God said. Because the goal is not to do the things God said. The goal is to just get the reward. How many people have been around those types of people? How many people have been those people? How'd that work out for you? Did you get the prize? For a bit. And then all of a sudden it dried up, didn't it? Did you ever realize the goal was never the prize? Go back to my original purpose of what these things are meant for. They're not meant for you to hold on to and to keep on. Think of the old image, right? God, I need this. Give me, please. I need this in my life. God gives it to you, right? Then you have it. But then there's something better that God wants to give to you. Can you receive it? Why? Hands are full. So you gotta give that away so that you can then get the next thing. Do you see how this constantly progresses you forward in the things of God? Because you are receiving and moving forward, receiving and moving forward. You are constantly engaging with God, going through the process of doing the things that He's told you to do. In the process, you have the things for the next thing that you need to do of God. It's kind of like, oh, I don't know, He's in control. Imagine that. I'm not? No! Pastor, say it isn't so. I thought I had it all. You don't. So in order for this to work, we have to commit to do the will of God and also complete the things that God has given us to complete, and then we can receive the prize. Seems like a very simple formula. Seems almost like it's childlike logic, isn't it? Like we're kids and He's telling us, you don't get to have the chocolate candy bar until you clean your room. And when I say clean your room, yes, I mean dust and vacuum, not just sweep it all under the rug or under the bed. And by clean, I don't mean just throw all of your toys into the closet that when it opens, it literally falls out like it does in the cartoon shows. If you live that way, God knows what you're doing. He sees everything you're doing. You're not fooling Him. So at the end of the day, when you don't get the candy bar, it's not because God's a bad guy. It's because you didn't do what He told you to do. Yet how many people go to God, ask for things of God? God, I need this in my life. God says, okay, well, if you will get these things established in your life, I will provide all these great and wonderful things for you. But then when you do none of those and God did not give you what you wanted, now God's the bad guy? Seems like we have a problem. And it isn't Him. It's our inactivity, our inability to get up and go through running the course that God has given us to run to get the things that God has forgiven to His kids. Again, you don't get a participation trophy in the kingdom of God. If you want a participation trophy, you already got it. Jesus saved you. That's it. That's it. And if that's all you're counting on, I hope you do something with Him, because that might be a rude awakening moment for you. There might be a rude awakening. I'm not God. I just read. We're talking about endurance. Endurance is gained when we build up the ability to shirk off the pain and the stress that we feel from the onslaught of the attacks, to even sometimes the daunting and draining distance that we have to cover. God gives us a great and many precious promises. However, can we press through to obtain them? And this reminds me of a story. You guys probably heard it, so I'm sorry if you had heard this before, but it just fits and it's so good. It was a wise man who had this dream, and God brought him into heaven and He showed him all that He has prepared for His kids, all of His people. And there were mansions and mansions and mansions in these gathering areas, massive dining halls, beautiful sculptures and all, places to commune and sing and worship and dance. And then he saw this one building, and it was set up on top of a hill. And it was massive. It made these mansions look like tiny homes. That's how big this huge, huge building was, with these huge doors. And the wise man pointed to the building, and he asked God, "What about this building up on the hill? What's this building?" God bowed his head kind of in distress and shame. And he said, "That building holds all the promises that I had prepared for my children, but were never claimed." God is in the business of progressing his people and giving his kids the things they need, because at the end of the day, when you have the things that God is giving to you to do the things that God wants to do, who gets the glory? God does. More people get saved. More people get put in their place to fulfill their God-given calls. More of God's kids get to come home. More of God's kids get to be successful, be entrepreneurs, be impactors of lives. It's not just one guy's job to do it all. It's all of our jobs. But we have to want to, A, first, run the race and have the endurance to finish. Because if not, that building's just going to get filled up with more and more and more of things that we missed out on that God had in store for us. Amen? Amen? Lord, this is your word. This is what you have given to your people today, God. I pray that it just hits the right spots. God, I pray that we don't leave here holding our heads down, God, and feeling this overwhelming guilt and condemnation. But God, I pray that it motivates us. It inspires us to want to grow and to change, to make the right decisions, to move towards those goals, to stop trying to figure shortcuts and ways around it. But God, to just press through to obtain those great and many precious promises you have for us. Because as each and every one of us obtains them, your body grows and benefits mightily from it, God. So Lord, I pray that each of us go and obtain those many precious promises so that your whole body can be blessed, your whole body can be grown, and your whole body can go and accomplish your good and your perfect will. Have your way in us. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. 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 Amen.